Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bri.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
I'm so happy to be here with you. When we're not together, I don't giggle as much because I don't make eye contact. And here comes Marge.
Marge is here, if you heard that. We have a co-host today. It's Marjorie.
Yeah. Well, she, you know, it's just so frustrating. Is she, you've been here, what, over a half hour? She has not
come down here.
And then the minute we start recording, she's like, I'm going to go stand on the fucking table and cause a ruckus.
If she's going to come sit on my computer just about now. If you've never tuned into us before, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We deep dive all the episodes of Grey's Anatomy starting all the way from season one. However, we are currently taking a break from that and we are kind of giving our just initial thoughts of the season 18 episodes. So if you want to, if this is your first time listening, we definitely recommend going back and starting, you know, 5 years ago at what we said about season one and make your way forward. This is just a fun little hiatus. Also, I want to address something.
Oh, okay.
I just want to address we sometimes get reviews that say like, why do you even podcast about this show if you don't like it? And I just, if this is your first one, I want to say I loved a lot of Grey's Anatomy. We would not have done this podcast if we didn't. But I think it's okay to be a critic of like current shows. Current. Yeah.
I think we've talked about this before. And like, if the content, you shouldn't have to be loyal to something even if the content isn't great.
Right. Yes.
I just don't think that's fair. We're critical thinkers. Like, we can have nostalgia, appreciation for the show and also be like, this is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
And so, that's fine. But if that pisses you off, then don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Or go back in the early seasons because we loved.
But maybe we didn't like those either.
Actually, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah. We always ended up rating the season like a 10, but the episodes were like a 4.
Yeah. I think what it really says about us is we're more glass half empty than a glass half full type of person.
Yeah. That's where we're at.
Yeah. And you know what? You can't choose that. That actually is decided for you.
Exactly.
At birth.
So, if you would like to support us and help us continue to put out weekly episodes, you can do so by being a patron and going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can be an intern, a resident, or an attending. We put out a bonus episode this month and we will continue to try to keep those up for you. We have a Facebook group, which we always are going to read some of our listeners' responses from. And it honestly just helps support us make this happen. So if you have $2 to spare, come be an intern. If you want to spend 10, come be a attending.
Yes.
And we'd love it.
We are so grateful for all of you who have been patrons for so long.
I know. Some of you, I'm like, did you forget it's still charging you?
Probably. It's $2.
Although I have one podcast that I am currently like a patron of and I always get that charge email and my first thought is, oh fuck, I got to cancel that.
Yeah. And then forget.
But then
to
I forget. So, you know, it's great. I'm paying it forward.
Yeah, for sure.
So any news to report?
I had jury duty today. I told you all about it. I will just say I did not get chosen. Oh. I didn't even get asked the questions like, do you watch Law and Order Special Victims Unit? They didn't. I got put into a group that sat in a room up on the 5th floor for like if the other people they chose, they couldn't find jurors out of that pool. And then it sucked because I was like the last group. And so everyone else who didn't get put into that last group, they got dismissed like hours earlier than me. And I was like, God damn it.
At that point.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm not going to get called.
Right.
Because there were 100 jurors that they were going through. And I don't know how many cases they had. The whole process, I feel like, is very streamlined.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty organized once you're in there.
Yeah. There was this lady, like the jury clerk. Mm-hmm. I think her name was Wendy. And something about her I just really liked. She was a bit frazzled. She had like red, long hair. She reminded me, kind of looked like Penny a little bit.
Okay.
And a mix of Penny and someone else. And I can't remember who, but she was, I don't know, like running back and forth and just kept being like, such a Monday.
It's a weird building too. Like it, I don't know, when you walk in, it feels kind of really cool, but then you're just like in a conference room.
Then you're in a conference room for a really long time. And I told Abby this, midway through the morning, I needed my coffee wasn't doing it for me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to go get a fucking soda out of the vending machine. And I didn't tell you this part. The drink one was out of order. So the sodas were in like the food.
The snack one?
Yeah. They were like a bottom row. So it was a can. It wasn't like.
Okay.
And yeah, I got it. And they didn't have Coke. They had fucking Diet Pepsi. So I got a Diet Pepsi and it exploded everywhere in the jury hallway. And I'm sure people heard me go, oh! Which is super embarrassing.
That's probably why they didn't pick you.
Probably.
Isn't it crazy though that like when you think about if you were to be, I don't know how crime, I've never been charged with anything, but if I was and I look over to the jury and I'm like, you all were just random people who got something in your mailbox and showed up tired on a Monday.
I mean, the judge said, and I thought this was very interesting. I never thought about it this way, but he was like, jurors are very important because and we're one of the countries that like not everyone has you know? And he said, because we want to put citizens in between government and government. So a prosecutor is government and the judge is government. So there, we don't want to convict anyone without, and I'm like, yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
They really like pump you up about it. And then you watch a 12-minute video. And I will also say they're all very nice. Like, the judge and the jury clerk like thanked us all a gajillion times.
Yeah, it's not like being at the DMV.
No.
Which I think I thought when I first went that it was going to feel like that. Like I'm a burden to them, but it's not at all.
No, like when you walk in, she was like super nice and good morning and please have a seat.
Did they have coffee? Didn't they?
They're still not doing it because of COVID. Yeah, she said, we're still not doing our coffee service. But I brought
Did you have to wear a mask?
No. You did not have to wear a mask.
Crazy, crazy.
Oh, well, I will say I didn't tell you this. Okay. So two things. Number one, I felt like I was on a field trip. You know that?
Yeah. Because we weren't at work.
Yes. And I was like.
Also, you took a bus.
I was like, am I for the rest of my life going to chase that high of what it felt like to be on a field trip? Because then I got real deep and I was like, I'm never going to go on a field trip again. Because I'm an adult. Like I can just go places.
But it doesn't feel the same.
It doesn't feel the same as when you're in school and you got to get on a bus and not go to class. Because I even went on one field trip in like undergrad field trip where we all like drove to a school to like tour it or something. But even that doesn't feel like a field trip.
Did you do that one in elementary school or maybe middle school? It was like we went out on a boat out like by the pier, but it was too wavy.
It was Grand Valley.
Wait, I'm talking about when I was really little.
Oh.
It was like we tested water levels. It was like a biology. This was not in college though.
No, but the boat is part of Grand Valley.
Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't go to Grand Valley.
No, it's just the bonus part.
But yeah, I remember they brought us out and we got almost halfway out to the pier and it was so wavy. And they're like, we gotta go back. I felt like we're dying.
Yeah, I was trying to think about like, what was the worst and best field trip I've ever been on? And I think part of the reason I felt like I was on a field trip because one time we went to
the courthouse.
And then you go to Lansing and you go to the Capitol.
Oh, yeah.
So like those.
Do they do that? They should. It's cool.
Yeah. So.
Do you remember assemblies?
I remember assemblies.
Would you choose an assembly or a field trip?
Field trip.
Hmm.
Because assemblies were always like the last hour of the day. A field trip was the whole day.
It felt like they were so long, but you're right. It probably was like 50 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like field trips triggered a lot of anxiety for me of who am I going to sit by on the bus?
Yeah.
Who is in my class? What if I get partnered with someone?
Yeah. And a lot of times, like field trips could be tough too because all of my friends, all of their moms were stay-at-home moms.
So they
all chaperoned, but my parents both worked. So there were times that I felt really... I remember a very specific instance where we went to Greenfield Village, which I want to go back.
Yeah, it's spooky, all those weird fake people. That's on the east side, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. And fake people.
Like you go in like the room where there's churning butter or like...
They're acting it out, yeah.
No, there's like not a person. It's like when you go to a small world after all, or it's like a fake person, I think.
No, there are real people there dressed in real clothes doing like.
Okay, there might also be like a fake old man somewhere.
Sure, there probably is. But I remember like all of my friends, like we were in a group of probably five and like all of my friends' moms were there, but my mom or my dad was not. And like, even just like getting lunch felt stressful because like I brought, you know, I was given money from my parents, but like their moms were like paying for them. And I had to like navigate that in fifth grade. Yeah, field trips were tough.
I just remembered, because I know I have photos of this. Greenfield Village for me was, picture Abby. She is wearing light khaki capris that have embroidered flowers like on the bottom. She's wearing a tie-dye t-shirt and an Old Navy tech vest, but it was like a fleece. I sat on like a chocolate on the way on the bus. And when I got there, it looked like I shit my pants. And this, I'm trying to think of my hair. It was probably like third or fourth grade or maybe sixth. I don't know. And so I had to tie my fleece around my like butt the whole day. So there's photos of me at Greenfield Village. God, I wish I could find them. And I have these thin sunglasses on too.
Yeah, I know the vibe. I had a very low pony with a bit of frizz, with a middle
so
part.
Much frizz.
And then I had on black capris that went to my knees,
this?
like oh, pedal pusher. Yeah. But they were like tight. And then I had on a Michigan State zip hoodie.
Absolutely.
Which later in the day when it got warmer, I did tie around my waist. So there are a lot of like photos of Reva and me and like jazz hands and like just this awful, awful
outfit. Can you
imagine
wearing those type of pants right now? The tight to the knees. There's nothing worse.
No, I had so many of them. I had like this really weird stretch khaki one too that I would wear. And you wouldn't wear like longer shirts with them. You'd wear like a t-shirt with these Oh, it was a look. Field trips.
I also had a middle part. My hair was stick straight then. Actually, I kind of had this hair a few years ago, but like short bob, like one length all the way around. And then a really long hair wrap. Because I got the hair wrap put in before I cut my hair. And then I was like, don't cut the hair wrap.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that's great.
Did you go to Mackinac Island also as an overnight field trip?
No, we never got to go on overnight field trips.
That seems crazy to me that we did that. First of all.
Wait, I went to in high school, I went to France.
Okay, yeah. But that's like, you chose that.
Yeah.
This was like, I guess you could go or not, but we all went. Also, I'm wondering, like, the school, did they pay for that or did my parents?
No, I think what ends up happening is you fundraise.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, like you sell, like, chocolate bars and shit.
Okay, because first of all, long-ass drive that, I don't remember that drive at all, but you had to get there. I'm just thinking of, like, this seems like an awful idea.
Yeah, so did you take a school bus all the way there? Or like one of those, because when we went to Greenfield Village, we took like a charter bus, you know?
We stayed, it might've been a charter bus. We stayed at like Fort Michilimackinac or like the—
Yeah.
Not the, and obviously not the Grand
Hotel.
You
didn't stay on Mackinac Island, or you did?
I think we did.
That's wild.
Right, because that's expensive.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
I just remember being, like, they do the thing where they shoot off the cannon.
Yeah.
And they was, oh my God, this is so of the times. We all had disposable cameras.
Yeah.
And they told us that the trick to getting the photo of that is keep your finger on the shutter and like it'll jar you and you'll hit the shutter. And it did. And maybe that's when I became a photographer.
Also, I think about like those disposable cameras. I have so many bad pictures from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Of like—
What our parents— Also, it was so cheap for them to get them developed. Those probably like less than $5.
Yeah. But like you'd be like, here, take this picture of this weird, like, fort in Mackinac. It's just, like, no one's in it, nothing. Like, why do we have that photo?
Do you remember the panoramic ones?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. I remember one time, though, we accidentally bought that.
Instead.
So we had a bunch of photos that were, like, panoramic. We're like, what the hell? When we got them developed, you know? Field trips. I mean, let us know.
I wonder, do they make those? Those would be dope as fuck for wedding days.
Like the panoramic ones,
yeah.
Maybe.
To take like 12 throughout the whole day of different like things.
That would be really
cool. I've never seen them. I should look it up. They're probably like $1,000 on eBay.
Probably now. I feel like I had one other thing to say about jury duty.
Oh, jury duty. Why do I... is that from something?
No.
Jury duty. Yes, it is. It's from The Grinch when he's handing out the envelopes and he goes, jury duty, pink slip, jury duty.
Oh, shoot. What was it? It was one quick little ditty about, it's probably lost, but I felt like I was on a field trip and don't know. I lost it. But
well, if maybe, you find it,
if it comes back, I will let you know.
We don't have a ton to talk about.
It felt like such an adult thing to do, you know?
Yeah, it means you're a true adult.
Yeah. Being like...
I only had it once, and it was last year.
Were you really nervous? I was nervous about showing up. Like, don't worry, I got there a half hour early.
I was just confused. Like, I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And it also was a huge snowstorm, and Jake dropped me off. I do remember that.
Mm. That's nice, because I had to park and just shuttle. And
yeah. It is nice out today, though.
Yeah. It's just wild. Can you imagine if you would have gotten chosen?
Yeah.
You could have been on a case.
What if it's like those ones that are like months long?
You know what I was thinking while I was sitting there? I was like, what if I get chosen? And it's like, yeah, like a really long one or
you can't even come home. You have to stay at a hotel.
Sequestered. Or yeah. Or they like there's a lot of news or whatever. And I was like, what? I was like, fuck, what if I become a meme? Like, you know how sometimes like people are in like a jury or something and then, or I think about the person at Hillary Clinton's like debate, that guy in the red sweater.
Oh yeah, he became a thing.
He became a thing. I was like, I'm going to become him if I'm on a jury. I still
follow him on Twitter and I was like, why do I follow this man? It was like he had his one moment of fame.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, I'm going to become that person. And I was super nervous.
Yeah, I don't want to become a meme.
No, nobody. I like to look at memes, but I don't want the jokes on me. I don't want to be the meme.
I was watching the Kardashians, mm-hmm. as I told you prior to this, and they've become memes so many times that like there was like Kim was like, oh, this is the bush, that one where she's like peering out the bush. She's like, this is the bush where I became a meme. And like, can you imagine just being so famous that you're just always a meme?
You're a meme. No.
Yeah, meme.
Meme.
Okay. Okay, let's do it.
I'll cover you.
It's from Rent.
Oh.
I just did not sing that. But it, do you know? I can't sing it. I can't think of that.
I thought you did a really nice job just there.
They sing it in the song, the guy who sings Santa Fe, that character. Do you know Rent?
I don't know Rent very well. I know 500.
Yeah, everyone knows that. I'll Cover You is one of the better songs, though.
I saw a really bad TikTok. Of like a cringe TikTok.
Yeah.
Of like people singing that song and someone like trying to hit that note and it just didn't hit. It didn't land. Didn't stick it. And that's okay. I couldn't do it.
Oh, wait. I feel like my peeps, maybe I already told them.
My peeps.
Did I tell them that I saw Dear Evan Hansen again?
I don't know if you did.
I don't know that I did, but I got a friend of ours offered my mom and I tickets and we went. And so it was my fourth time. I'm not trying to brag. What I'm saying is that—
It was your fourth time?
I saw it three times in New York and then once here.
Wow.
Once in 2017 with Ben Platt or 18. And then 2019. I somehow went once by myself again and then with my mom and then with my mom again.
Gotcha.
But anyways, what I was going to say is that like the first time I went, I'm sure I talked about on the podcast, like life-changing moment for me, best performance I've ever seen. I became obsessed. It just like did something to me seeing all the original cast members. And then the two times after that was good, but I was like chasing the high of the first one mm-hmm. and it just wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then this time I went in with like low expectations. I don't know why. I mean, the touring cast is a Broadway cast. It's not, I just was like, it's never going to be as good as New York. But it was fucking incredible.
That's amazing.
It was probably out of the four times, my second favorite time. And I had really good seats. Not like when we went and saw Hamilton and thank God we'd seen it before.
Yeah, we were really.
Because like you can't see their faces.
No, we were really high up. That's because that theater is not good for Broadway.
No.
You need those old theaters that are narrow and high. So they like stack on top of each other.
Right. That one just goes back. We were so far back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. Grey's Anatomy, do you have the monologue?
So it's actually not in the thing there yet. So, but it is called I'll Cover You. It's from Rent. This air date, May 12th. And it was directed by Debbie Allen.
Ooh, good to know.
So.
Okay. So let's
take us through the list, Abby.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Richard first.
Okay.
Because I feel like that was like what the teaser prepared us for.
Uh-huh.
So he drinks Catherine's cannabis drink on accident. I guess I thought it was...
Well, I mean, he drinks it intentionally.
Oh, sorry. Then doesn't realize it has THC.
Right.
I want to say at first, I thought it was kind of an interesting conversation about like, if you are sober
uh-huh.
and you... In you have a substance, but it's not intended. Like, I thought that was at least sort of an interesting, like, what, how do you feel? Because he was feeling like, oh my God, my 10 years or however many years of sobriety is gone. And I loved Amelia's point that like, you didn't mean to do this. You're not going to do it again. Like it doesn't. I also feel like it was like the breakthrough though, that he needed to come up with an idea of how to save the program. Like he sort of was talking to Meredith and had like an epiphany because his brain was thinking all, not that he didn't need that. I don't want it to sound like that, but it like made him think about some other things.
Yeah. I thought, I mean, what do you think of it? Did you think it was funny? Did you think it was annoying?
I didn't think the humor didn't really get me. What got me was when he was talking to Meredith and I feel like he wasn't as mad because he was high and he let his guards down. And I wrote some of it down. He said about Nick Marsh, he said, maybe he could fall in love with the city. We have trees and ferry boats. And Meredith said, the ferry boats might be the reason I need to leave. And he said, because everywhere you look, there's a memory of people who aren't here anymore. And he said, that's how I felt when Alice died. And Meredith said, you mean Adele? And he says, no. And I feel like that's like a really honest, like feeling that he might have like filtered, you know,
had he not been,
he might've been like, oh yeah, Adele. Yeah. But like, he doesn't, like Alice was his, which makes me so sad for Adele, but.
It also makes me sad for Alice.
Yeah. All for all of them. But so I felt like that was a good moment again of like them relating to having lost the loves of their life.
Yeah.
But pushing forward.
Yeah. Agreed.
But I mean, it was less funny than like the stoned episode with everyone else. And I don't think it was meant to be super funny. Like, I think it was meant to be the reason we find out about Catherine.
Yeah. I also, the one scene that I thought was funny when she was like, Meredith goes to get him food or something. And he like sneaks out behind her. Like, I don't know. That to me is like when you're high and you're like, I'm about to do a walkabout
right now.
And
what he's wearing, he's like that sweater. Yeah. I was glad she figured out right away what was wrong because
I was like, she's doing like checking to see if he's having like neurological issues or whatever.
Right.
And then she looks at the juice container.
Yes. He pulls that up. He thought it was kombucha.
Yeah, well, because she says kombucha has alcohol in it. And then she's, whatever. You guys watched the episode.
Yeah.
It was, but what we learned.
I know, that was sad. That moment made me sad. Because it made me sad for the fact that Catherine has been in pain and hiding it.
And not telling her husband or anyone.
Right. And so, I mean, we know Jackson comes back soon with April. But like, I'm sure it has something to do with his mom.
So this is, I'm going to bring in something else here. So we posted, I believe you posted that article about the writer from Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. And wasn't this
Elizabeth Finch.
Yeah. Wasn't this storyline based upon
the cancer that Catherine has is the same one that Elizabeth Finch claimed to have had,
but did not.
I don't think so. Maybe she didn't have it at all. Right. No, I don't think so.
No.
That article, if you guys, it's in Vanity Fair, right?
Yes.
If you search Vanity Fair, Grey's Anatomy, there's a part one and part two story about one of the writers, and it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's very, very fascinating.
And long.
I feel like, didn't this something similar kind of happen in a different show where someone claimed to have like all of these stories that they were basing their writings on?
I thought that was this one, or was there another one?
Maybe it was this one.
I just think it's crazy too that like, and maybe I feel like we're not good enough to do a bonus about this, but like the whole Joe storyline was based actually off of, it's not her story. It's the woman's story that she met. And so it just makes you watch it with such a different lens because it feels like a story that not that it was, it's important that it's told, but it was told without permission.
Yeah. It was like not her story to tell, that she didn't get consent about.
Right.
Sharing that.
And like that the therapist that works with Joe, who is Rachel Bay Jones, who is in Dear Evan Hansen, who like she even used the name of the girl's therapist. Like it's all very convoluted.
Yeah. It seems like abusive.
Yeah. Super weird. And very like Munchausen's by proxy.
Yeah. Yeah. Things, so you should all go read the article. But I was thinking about that watching this episode of like, we're bringing up the storyline again with Catherine and her cancer and like, I just wonder how people in the writer's room like
are handling that.
Yeah, and like feel about that. Because it's not like it's done. Like you can't unwrite that storyline. Right. Like it's already out there in Grey's canon. So like then how do you move forward with it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
So I'm sure that's gonna be happening in the next few episodes. Okay, another topic. Nick but I don't know if you have anything to say about it, but like Nick is going to be there for a few months and he helps Schmidt. He's better teacher than Bailey in that moment because Bailey's like yelling at Schmidt.
Yeah.
And he's like, write a new story.
Yeah. That was good, Nick.
A new story.
I thought it was interesting, important dynamics to see that Meredith didn't even ask Nick.
Hands over her cases.
Yeah. Didn't talk to him about it and that he just did it.
I know. I kind of liked it because I feel like he trusts her enough to know that, oh, she must not be able to do this right now. I can handle this.
Yeah. I think it's like showing that their relationship is growing mm-hmm. and like they're not just like, you know, kind of dating.
Yeah.
Like they're much more serious.
You know why I think their relationship didn't feel as like developed or whatever is because like usually when there's a relationship on the show, they're working at the hospital, but there's like 10 episodes of them not dating, but interacting.
Yep.
And like they kind of just went
right into it.
And so there wasn't that like, I mean, Riggs was like a whole season. They only dated for like the last 3 episodes.
Yeah.
So I feel like it just, we didn't have that like build up as much, but yeah, they're so that we're to understand that they're both staying there until the program is fixed.
Yeah. And he kind of like has it out with Bailey. Nick does too. Mm-hmm. Being like, you can either use me.
Yeah. Like I'm here. Like, yeah, I wrote something about that. Yeah. I wrote Nick offers help Bailey and she doesn't want any of his help. Like he's offering, he's being kind, I feel like, and she's just too in her head about it.
Yeah.
Bailey's back from her trip. She has her cute little, I don't watch Station 19. I don't know if she's adopted Prue or if they're just fostering.
I'm not sure.
She's very cute. I like how she was like, I brought my joy to work today. Yeah. And now I have to bring my joy to daycare. Okay. What about Link and Joe?
Okay. So the episode starts and I think you're supposed to think it's Joe.
Yeah.
You know, that classic. Joe and Link are having sex. But it's some other person, probably just some random person. I thought Link was really annoying yelling at Joe. Like, and then...
Well, I'm taking it out on the patient, going behind her back and being like, yeah, we'll get you that. He like, the... He says he'll talk to Joe's boss.
Yes. Yes,
which was going over her head.
Right. That's why they ended up in that room together. And
right.
Arguing. And to me, like, what frustrated me about the Link thing was I felt like back when they were having sex, like he was the one that wanted no strings attached.
Right.
And then he's flipping it around. Like, you want me to babysit and
you're using me.
Yeah. But I'm like, but you were using her in the beginning of the season. Yeah. Like, you both said you were using each other.
Right. And then it's like they both developed feelings at different times.
Yes.
Because he was about to with her, and then something happened with Amelia, and he's like, I must confess my love to Amelia.
Well, that's the thing is he... Yes, exactly. He has been hung up on Amelia, and then I feel like he only... This is what annoys me. I feel like he only wants to be with Joe because he's jealous that she's with someone else.
Yes. Yes.
I don't like that.
No. And... I was glad, though, it's finally out in the open. Like, Joe admitted that she was in love with him, which I feel like bold. But I guess when you know someone for that long, you can fall in and out of love. Like,
Yeah, for sure.
I think she loves him as a friend, and I think it just, like, switched. And that she asked him to move out to protect their friendship, which isn't going well right now.
Yeah. I mean, so that was supposed to be, like, a big cliffhanger. I don't think we're going to have resolution on this by the end of the season.
No, probably not.
Because we have three episodes. Well, we have one episode, and then we have the two-parter.
Okay.
So...
Or maybe it ends in some even more cliffy hanger. Like, where you know, like...
Yeah.
I'd like that. I love cliffhangers. Makes me want to watch the show. Otherwise, yeah. I don't want to.
Right. When things are wrapped up too pretty in a bow at the end, it's kind of like, well, why would I come back?
Yeah. I have just a comment.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Bailey is the chief. Her office is a whole ass new set. It is not the same chief's office like that we've had that's above the gallery. There's the walkway and then there's the office. This is like, it's got red walls. It's not by that glass. We don't even see that glass walkway anymore.
No, we do not. That like where Derek got shot?
Yes. Like what happened to that set?
It's gone.
Yeah, do they? I'm pretty sure, I know that's like a real building. I feel like you can like go in it.
Yeah.
But do they just, how did they use it? Now they don't. If you are someone that knows TV, like I'm sure it's cheaper to film wherever they are now than maybe what they were doing, but it like, it takes away, like, I want to see Bailey in the office that Richard and Owen and all of them were in.
Right. It takes away that like consistency.
Right.
Like throughout all of
the seasons.
They
can remodel, but that office had all glass doors.
And now does not.
No, it's like a den.
Speaking of offices.
Yes.
Did you notice that Richard, when he was high, was like looking at that bear?
No. Was it the bear that like...
I think that bear was in his office.
Okay, yeah.
I think
they
brought...
Is it like a statue?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think they brought it back around.
I'm sure, because that has been shown up before.
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
Where was it?
He was in like the attendings lounge, I feel like.
Did he like pick it? I missed it.
He was like looking at it or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that was in his office.
And I think they did that intentionally to like...
To make you say this on the podcast.
Yeah, like a little callback. I was like, oh my God. Because we have mentioned there being a bunch of bears in Chief's office.
Right.
Long, long time ago when Chief was Chief. And I was like, the writers obviously listened to her. The writers obviously listened to the podcast.
Right.
And they put that in there directly for us. What were we talking about before that? But, oh, the office, Bailey.
Yeah, it's just, I just miss, and like the whole set. Okay, in my brain, which I feel like this is unique to me, like it's kind of like when you only read a book, everyone has their own envision of like what a character looks mm-hmm. like. The way I picture like where they are now seems like a basement level of Grace Sloan. Like you don't see windows like you used to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like nothing, like when they're walking in the halls, it started in the COVID set. Because I can picture the scene, it was when Richard or Bailey, one of them figured out how to like disinfect the masks and they had them like all hanging up in that one room with that light in there. That to me, I was like, this is a different set. And I feel like they've not gone back to whatever they were doing before.
Yeah.
I wonder why. I want to know.
Someone's got to know.
Yeah. Also, I feel, so we learn a backstory about Winston and his brother, Wendell. That Winston ended up getting arrested for driving his brother and a friend who had stolen goods. And like Wendell didn't stick up for him at all. And there's this like, I feel like their grudge goes way far back. Yeah. I think like they're introducing some like problem between him and Maggie because otherwise things have been too good.
Yeah, they're definitely, I was going to say
she slept at Amelia's.
Yeah, I was going to say they definitely haven't had like conflict, the two of them. There was like one episode where maybe they were talking about God or something.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
briefly I was like, oh, they've never talked about that before, but they brushed right past that.
Yeah. And so I think it's like fine. I don't feel high stakes about it at all.
No.
Like I don't feel like it's going to be threatening. I thought I was actually like proud of Maggie for like kicking him out of the OR in that moment as, oh, she also had that line where she was like, I'm talking out as your boss and your wife because I can't separate the two. And I think like, that is an like interesting dynamic because like Richard and Catherine are always trying to figure that out.
But do we know where they live?
No.
Have we figured this out yet?
We have not.
Do we know where Amelia lives?
Does she live with Meredith?
I thought.
I don't know.
Because she said, I'm going to stay with my sisters.
Oh, so I think Amelia lives with Mare. But why would she ask Amelia if she can stay with her and not Meredith?
I don't know. Because she's still mad at Meredith? I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, so I'm not worried about them, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, I think it will get resolved soon. But I think you're right that they hadn't written any like conflict between the two of them. So they had to have something.
The other thing I feel like we could just like hit on, because I actually thought it was like really important. And I think one of our listeners wrote the whole line. But there's, yeah, of course.
Is it about
Sweet Margaret. Yeah.
Yeah.
Teddy was talking to Amelia about her concerns and whatever. Mm-hmm. And Amelia brought up about, you know, being with someone who's non-binary. And Amelia says, things and people don't need to be constantly defined in order to be loved unconditionally. And since I've started viewing the world that way, I've never felt more like myself. I thought that was a great line.
I think that's wonderful. This was the episode where Teddy and Owen start going to therapy.
Yeah, we get like a little slice of it.
A little glimpse. And I love that like the therapist is kind of like, you know, Teddy wants to define it.
Yeah.
Like Teddy's like, well, do we start calling Leo she? Like, what do we, and like the therapist is like, no, like explore. Right. This is okay. And you can tell that Teddy wants it to be either or.
Yeah.
And to stick that way. Cause I don't feel like Teddy would have a problem.
No.
With Leo like being a she,
right?
You know, or whatever.
I think it's the flip flopping or the like
that makes
the fluidity
so,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that makes Teddy so uncomfortable.
Owen even had a line like, "Oh, she loves." He didn't use. I forget what word they used, but he was being sarcastic. Like Teddy does not do well. Not contingencies. There was another word.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think it's the defining.
Yes.
And I think that's the lesson though that has to be imprinted is like, why are we defining?
Exactly.
Like that is where all the problems lie.
Yeah.
I also just want to point out too, because I feel like, I always feel like we don't talk about Amelia enough, but there are some great things. I'm going to just read again a line from one of our listeners named Lily. Lily said, "Right. Who knew she'd be the stable, self-actualized, secure attachment one in the group? It only took her a million years. We've seen her do a lot of introspection and emotional work to get there. She's prepared to be such a strong role model for Scout and all the kids. Because of her commitment to move through her pain, in parentheses, remember when Owen helped her realize she could feel her feelings, mm-hmm. the intergenerational trauma can stop with her. Super proud of our superhero."
Love that. That is some therapy talk right there.
I
love
it. And like they posted a gif of, again, I forget about that scene when Amelia is outside of Derek and Mare's house and Owen comes to her. She's wearing that leather coat.
Yeah.
And she is about to use.
Yeah.
And he's like, "No, you need to feel things."
Yeah.
And I feel like she's come so far.
She really has.
I'm trying to see what else.
Even her like stepping away from her relationship with Link.
Yeah. And then also I loved in that moment when Link needed Scout, was just like, I want to, you know.
I loved that.
Yeah.
Like, and I love to like that. I feel like that's good co-parenting. Not like, it's not your day. Why right. do you need it? It's just like, I think Amelia like gets it. Like, yeah, sometimes you really like just mm-hmm. need your joy and your kid. Not that we ever want to like
use our kids,
but like.
I think kids put things in perspective.
Yeah.
I always think about, I feel like I've talked way too much about Dax Shepard today to you, but he, in his podcast, always talks to other guests about kids that like he had a really big ego before kids and like was really concerned with his job and like what people thought of him. And like when he had kids, his perspective changed of like, actually, all I care about is that I am a good dad.
Yeah.
Like that is the world I care about now. And I feel like in that moment, Link needed to like.
Remember he was a dad.
Yes. And just like go to that. So,
yeah.
I'm just seeing if anyone else had.
Did you think it was interesting that Amelia kept the stroller though?
Maybe he was just borrowing Scout.
Yeah, and like come, or maybe they each have their own
stroller. They
but
might.
That doesn't really make sense either.
All the things in it.
Yeah, and like you would push the stroller to the parent, and then they would probably take over the stroller. Like I understand having your own car seats.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Whatever. Small details.
Oh, this is a little spoiler note from, I feel like our listener Nicholas is just on top of these facts. But the actor that plays Todd, the boyfriend of Joe right now, his name is, oh my God, Skylar Austin. Yeah. Anyways, he got a full-time gig for a new show starting this fall on CBS. So I would imagine Joe and Todd will break up by the end of the season.
Gotcha. So she'll probably, okay. But so like, let's ask the question, do we want Link and Joe to be together?
I think I would like some more relationships that aren't with people outside of the show. Like, you know, like it keeps it all in the family.
Yeah.
But if it was old Link, the Link from the earlier seasons, not this new one.
Yeah.
So I think he should go to therapy first.
Yeah. I think he needs to grow a bit. Yeah,
I do too.
Also remember when she was married to Karev?
I try not to because it makes me too sad.
That's sad. And also like Karev like wanted to be a dad. Didn't he want to be a dad at one point with Joe?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was when. Yeah. Also another thing I learned, there's a show called The Offer, I believe that's on. Is it HBO? Peacock? I can't remember.
Okay.
This is going to be the most roundabout story. A girl I went to college with is in it. I'm shooting her wedding in Michigan this fall. Justin Chambers has a role in it. Like he's acting again.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Good for him.
I know.
We didn't know what he was going
to
do.
No, I meant to look it up.
I just recently re-listened to our episode where we find out that he's leaving the show. And holy shit.
Are we so sad?
We're sad. We're like, we keep saying things about like mental health stuff. But then we also like make a joke about how he leaves. Is he like ends up with Izzy? Oh. We like joke. We're like, can you imagine?
So this is before that episode.
Yeah, we're like, can you imagine if he ends up with Izzy or something? And then that's what happened.
Okay, also, he is in quite a few episodes. He plays Marlon Brando, like young Marlon Brando, who's the godfather, like the actor who plays the godfather.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Wait, who does?
Justin Chambers.
Oh.
So he's like, yeah, acting. So this is his first thing.
He's acting.
This is his first thing since Grey's Anatomy.
Good for him.
I know. I kind of want to watch it to like see
how he does.
Yeah. Because if you look at his IMDb, it's like basically nothing, Grey's Anatomy, and then like some weird things early on.
Justin Chambers seems like a wacky fella.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know what would be a good episode? Ellen and Justin Chambers.
I know. I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, but do you think...
Unless I feel like he's drawn intense boundaries about Grey's. Yeah. I wonder if they wouldn't even talk about Grey's, which would be so annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they would.
I wonder if they're still in contact.
Tell me.
Tell me more. Tell me.
Tell me what.
Meredith had on a really great like camel colored coat in this episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just wanted to point that out. I have a lot of really good notes this episode.
It's fine.
There's a bear and a camel
Those
coat.
Those are good. Those are good. I did not see the teaser for what's coming next
week. I did not either because I watched this
Shit Sunday.
Yeah, same. So, did we miss any storylines?
I don't think so.
What would you rate it? Mm-hmm. I didn't care.
I liked the previous episode more.
Yeah, so, and I think we gave that a 5.
Oh, fuck.
So, 4?
I mean, it's a steady 5.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, the line about Adele and Ellis got me.
The Amelia speech was really good.
Yes. Honestly, the whole part, Meredith referencing that like ferry boats and that's why she has to leave. Anything that references old Grey's like that just makes me feel emotional.
Yeah. And I did feel a little cliffhangery at the end
about
Catherine. I thought that was a good like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why wasn't I like surprised though?
I was. I wasn't like surprised, but I was like, oh wow, we're going to, that storyline.
Do you think she's going to pass on?
Does Debbie Allen want to leave?
Does she just want to direct?
Would she still be a part of it?
For sure. I feel like she's like running the show behind the scenes.
I don't know.
Or does she want it to be about her?
Okay. One other thing we should say, because we're getting to this point. What do we hope for Jackson and April? Mm. I hope they're together.
I guess I'm excited for him to come back because I feel like it hasn't been that long. So it doesn't feel weird. Same with April, I guess, because she showed up in that one.
Yeah, I'm happy he's coming back. I'm kind of surprised that he is.
Yeah, I am too, especially because he's still on Broadway. So I don't know how he swung that to...
Oh,
baseball.
That's good.
I did not mean to say that.
I feel like you're blushing.
So are you.
Well, because penises...
Oh, that was funny. I think he'll be great. Oh my God. I'm not embarrassed about it, but you looking at me makes me embarrassed.
I feel like your mom right now, like not your actual mom. Not,
my mom's going to listen to this.
Yeah, and she's going to hear
me
say
penis.
Hey, mom,
you're probably on a treadmill at rehab. You're doing great. I would like to see him and April together. I think they teased it last season. Like they were moving to Boston together.
And they like, and she wasn't with Matthew anymore.
Right. Of course.
And so I think did they have plans for them to come back? I don't think so necessarily.
Or they made it open.
Exactly. And made it open in our minds as like as the viewers, like we could kind of create what we want. I will be fucking pissed off if they show up and they're like, yeah, we're just like co-parenting or like we can't stand each other. And like,
yeah, I just don't want there to be anger like between them or conflict.
Yeah. Like, I would like them to come together.
As a unified front.
Yeah. And, like, maybe come and, like, tell. Maybe we'll get a wedding.
Oh.
A second wedding.
That'd be fun.
We won't.
No. I am excited to see April interact with other people also. Because, like, we saw April with Jackson.
Right.
But I want to see her with Meredith and with Bailey and, you know, Owen.
Do we think we'll ever get, like, Arizona back?
Okay. Well, someone put in our group, which I loved this. Someone said, Grey's theory for season 19. I think this issue with needing more attendings is going to be a way to bring back old cast members to save the program and to wrap up Grey's in the coming seasons. I don't think they're going to want to come back, though.
I don't think they will either.
So
it's in the gutters. The ratings are in the gutters.
Yeah. I'd like to hopefully think that.
Also, I feel like some of those characters, I feel like were like shoved off the show. Like,
yeah.
Well, April was one of them. So I find that interesting.
And Arizona at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, why can't I think of their name? Is it Sarah Ramirez? Or is that someone else?
Yep.
That's okay.
Their name, yeah.
What's the name that they have in the Sex and the City thing?
Shay Diaz.
Yeah, maybe they'll come back as Shay Diaz. That's what I want.
A little crossover there?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So anyways.
We've had Addison.
Yeah. They could like.
What if we could.
I feel like they could come back, not even for the Derek. Show, but like at the end. Yeah, we have had Derek.
Yeah.
So we had George and Lexi. Yeah.
Well, Lexi and, was in
a and Mark.
Mark was back?
Yeah, with Lexi.
Oh, right. They
the
were together.
Only
yeah.
person we haven't had is Christina.
And Izzy.
And Izzy. And Karev. But yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like Izzy, absolutely not.
No.
And then I feel like Sandra Oh, absolutely not. She yeah. won't even talk about Grace.
Right. That's she's done with that.
Yeah. And plus her storyline fit.
Yeah. And we got Burke.
Yeah. We literally, I don't know what we're bitching about.
I'm not bitching about it.
No, Arizona would be, Arizona and Cali, I feel like would be
Would be
great.
Really cool to see.
Because as far as we know, they're still practicing medicine.
In, yeah, in New York.
Right. So that would be great.
And there's like, they Penny? Also left that open that maybe they were going to get together.
What about Penny?
Well, I hope Penny's out of the picture because I want Cali and Arizona to be together.
I miss Arizona.
What if we got Riggs back? I miss Arizona too.
Arizona is a favorite of mine.
What if we got Riggs back and he's like, Nick, get out of here. She's mine.
Let's get Megan back. I really miss her.
She's on there.
I'm kidding. I oh. can't stand her being on the
oh,
show.
Oh, well, she hasn't actually, is she gone?
She
though?
Left.
She's
yeah,
gone.
When Owen walked.
Yeah, no, I don't even remember her leaving. It was.
And Farouk.
Yeah, okay. So,
those are our predictions. Please let us know yours. I apologize for earlier. This podcast is rated R, and we appreciate your viewership, and I am slightly embarrassed.
Oh, viewership. Listenership.
Listenership.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a patron. Time of Death, 2006.
Beep.